House by Christopher Lee, starring Julian Glover as Charles Bannister and Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter.
I'm sorry, darling. I really am.
I was beginning to worry. What happened?
I came out of Harrods, grabbed a taxi, and the rest is an everyday story of city folk.
I would have thought the Underground smarter, especially at lunchtime.
With all this lot.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Can we get you something from the bar? We have Nigel's special Monday Blues cocktail today.
Well, it's getting late.
Do you have large ones?
Sure, that'll be no problem. And you, sir?
No thanks. Are you sure, darling?
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss one of Nigel's specials for the world. By the way, what's in it?
I don't rightly know, but it's very friendly, okay?
Okay.
Be right back with you.
Where do they get them from?
Exciting, Charles. Drink into the unknown.
Look, I don't want to be a killjoy, but I don't think I have time for lunch now.
You don't think you have, or you know you haven't?
The PM shifted Monday prayers to 2:15. Sorry, it was going to be tight anyway.
How disappointing for you, darling. Just imagine having to go back to your stuffy old commons when you could have been lunching with a girl of your dreams. Oh, come to think of it, even me.
I said I was sorry.
Here you go. One special.
My Godfather James, it's blue. Even the lemon's blue and a straw. It's more like a Knickerbocker Glory.
Sure I can't get you something, sir?
No, thanks. I'm fine with this.
Mm-hmm.
Why you like this place, I really don't know.
It's fun. And it's Monday, Charles. Everything's blue, including Polly. Not bad.
It looks disgusting.
If he's not gone into college today, we have a tummy upset.
Oh, I see.
Hardly. It's not one of those tummies. This one is convenient.
For what?
For flat viewing.
Oh, not again. I thought we decided.
No, Charles, you decided, which is not quite the same thing.
So you keep saying.
So I do.
Look, it's nearly two. I must go.
You have to. In case you forget to ask, it's Docklands.
I've made it perfectly clear, no.
If the Queen can get bolshy with the Prime Minister, surely a mere commoner's allowed the same privilege.
I really don't see the connection. Anyway, you didn't believe that rubbish.
Of course I did. I shouted bravo. Don't tell me it's not true.
Absolute twaddle. Anyway, if Polly thinks I'm paying out for some yuppified warehouse, then she's got another think coming.
My no claims bonus.
Getting run over in the safe precincts of the house is not something I normally worry about. Sorry. Anyway, where did this little beast come from?
It's Pops. He's more or less stopped driving, so now I've joined the Oxford commuting set. I thought, why not? Easy parking, cheap on petrol.
Very green.
Naturally. Good weekend.
So. How is he?
I don't know. He's still very nervous. He worries me. Okay. I'll tell you about it later. I think he wants to talk to you. Sorry. Ah, oh, by the way, I see number 10's about to recite the throne room in the tower.
Don't believe all you read.
But I do. See you, Chang.
Be realistic, Rosie. Anyway, there's rumours and there's rumours, and this one's got something, if you ask me.
No one did.
People don't go around making things like this up. Not about her, they don't.
Sure, I don't know. Nor does anyone else.
Now look, according to Mr. Mossman...
Come on, Arthur. Let me get on, and don't be so naive. I saw the advance of the palace speech. All that stuff about Hong Kong was straightforward, and it was just as she read it. Nothing was changed.
Of course it wasn't, but you didn't see the first draft, did you? Now, that's the one number 10 made a change.
Oh, Arthur Hawkins, you really take the biscuit.
They've got it here, definitely. The Queen was going to say she reckoned we'd sell them poor blighters in Hong Kong down the river, and number 10 sensitive. If it was in the Times, you'd believe it.
It wasn't, and I don't.
Don't tell me, let me guess. PM gags Queen is headline of the week, yes?
Well, the way I hear it...
Arthur, the Terrace Club reception's at 6, not 6:30. They've done it again. I phoned Mrs. Bannister, she knows.
Thanks. Tell the gate, will you?
Mm-hmm.
But what interests me, Mr. Hawkins, is who started the rumour. And another thing, who's this Barry Abbott fellow? I thought I knew most of the lobby correspondents.
Well, sir, come to think of it, I do have a bit of a suspicion, so to speak.
Come now, Charles. I suspect he was simply flattered by your asking his opinion. What could he possibly know?
Yes, I agree. At the same time, he seems to believe that your PPS mentioned it on Friday, as it didn't appear until yesterday.
You're too quick to condemn, Gerald. I can assure you, Charles, he's not the sort of person to spread such tales.
Really?
Of course. As it happens, we've discussed the matter. I have certain friends who are, shall we say, fascinated.
Well, it's nothing to do with the Home Office. This is strictly FCO.
I disagree. If Number 10's vetoed a speech of the Queen's, well, even as Privy Councillor, I have an interest. And as Chief Whip, so have you, Charles. I can see people taking sides.
Look, if there were anything in this, I'm sure the Bombardier would have given us, me at least, due warning.
Exactly. What I find curious, Charles, is that no one has bothered to mention it before. And the fact that it's in a newspaper.
Not the sort of thing editors come up with out of the blue.
Perhaps it would be to everyone's advantage.
You mean yours?
If we made some inquiries of our own. Say, elsewhere.
At the palace?
Of course. What about that cousin of yours?
I have been known to drift along the Privy Purse corridor in search of tea.
It's very useful having a friend at court. So they used to say.
Aha! And what courtiers under pages plot about my throne this day?
Hello, Jack. Whatever happened to good afternoon? Why do people have to throw Shakespeare at me all the time?
That old fraud. My God, the English are so bloody arrogant. We have plenty of quotable quotes of our own, thank you very much.
Is that not so, Dougal?
I must go, Dougal. We'll talk soon, okay?
Uh-huh. Off to the palace, is it? If they've anything to say, you'll remember your friends, I expect.
I'm not, but if they had, I expect your paper would be the last rag they'd be talking to. Bye, Dougal.
He's a wicked and barbed tongue. That had nothing to do with me, you know.
Well, you're the lobby editor. You must have known about it. It's scurrilous. Completely scurrilous. Who put you up to it, then?
How should I know? I'm but a totter picking over the truth in this place.
I'd have said peddling rumour was more your line.
Oh, have a heart, Dougal. We despised lobby hacks, right? Only what's peddled by you people.
In these matters, I have no heart.
Seemingly your people are taking this story seriously.
Certainly not. By the way, who is Barry Abbott? You?
Oh, that's cruel. Since when did I hide behind another name? Anyway, my vanity wouldn't let me.
So, who is he?
He's what you might call a man of many parts.
A general reporter.
You could say that.
Of course, it's not that important, but it'd be nice to know.
To know what?
Come on, Jack. We're old friends.
Well, these occasions, seemingly we are. What if I told you he doesn't exist?
Like the truth?
It's all harmless stuff. Barry Abbott's a house name. Like William Hickey.
A false name puts distance between you and your informant. Yes?
Listen, I've been in the lobby 20 years. People tell me things. I've never let on who said what. You know that.
I'm not asking who told you. I simply want to know what makes you think it's true.
I'm told the source is impeccable.
That doesn't mean it's true.
But this one's blue chip, isn't it? It must be, otherwise you wouldn't be so inquisitive. Would you now?
Ah, thank you so much, Linda. Just leave it there. We'll do for ourselves. Ah, yes.
I'm sorry to call on you at such short notice.
Not at all. We appear to have mutual interests. There we are. Have a ginger nut?
No, thank you.
Ah. Yes, I remember you don't. Curious affair. Quite curious. What one might call a cut above the normal rumour.
I see.
I take it, Charles, that you don't know the source of the speculation?
It could have been passed on by Jack Ross, the lobby man. There is some suggestion that Ross may have picked it up from Dougal Baxter's PPS.
I don't think I know him.
Gerald Mossman.
A sound man? Oh. Oh, dear. And, Mossman, you said? His source?
I hadn't thought that far.
Well, I wish you would.
You don't seem surprised.
May I take it that there may be something in this affair?
Biscuit?
No, thank you.
Some are more gingery than others. We buy burnt rejects from a lady baker in Dorset. Really rather good.
It would be useful to know.
Prime Minister? Nothing's been mentioned. Private office?
Said it was nonsense. However,
one likes to hear both sides.
This is a private visit. Some of us feel that it's a constitutional matter.
So it is.
Someone must have started the tale.
Clearly.
Here?
I really couldn't say. I would have thought it unlikely.
Would you imagine the matter would be raised on Tuesday?
At the audience? Ah, quite possibly. On the other hand,
quite possibly not.
Precise.
If you forgive my saying so, that is not precise.
Perfectly so.
It really would be useful to know if you believe there is anything in this.
My dear Charles, useful? To whom?
What's more, Madam Deputy Speaker, what's more? Nowhere in this bill are the provisions for the hundreds of miners in those valleys guaranteed. Yeah. What about the courage men, Madam Deputy Speaker, who electrified this nation by their brave action in the Lewis murder pit?
Hear, hear.
They
electrified, be buggered. Nobody took any notice of them.
Anyway, what were you saying? I don't think it's that. Why shouldn't she say something like that?
Nonsense. She knows the score. She's been around longer than most of us.
She's an anachronism. It's exactly what he's talking about. It's a good enough reason to send her and the rest of them packing.
Nothing wrong with some anachronisms. Can even do some good. But if she hadn't gone ahead and said it...
I wouldn't mind betting that there's something in this. It had too much authority.
Yeah, timing's all right. Why now? I tell you something, Jules. Whoever set this one up knows that. They knew there'd be a row, and that means people taking sides.
You can't have the Windsors getting involved in policy, not even theirs. We should be making something of it. Tell the voters that when we're in, she's out. We'll be pushed to find another chance like this.
If we did that, we'd be inelectable for 50 years. Mind you, I think you're right on one point. Whoever wrote that thought he knew what he was talking about. I'd like to know why.
People are fed up with flag waving. There's a new mood. People are realists nowadays.
Flag waving. Aye. That could be it. Come on, this daft bugger's going on all night. Let's go and have a drink. I think you've got something. We are not talking about
anachronism. I've pee-peed all this morning's letters. There's nothing else unless you want to look at the list.
Anyone special on it?
One or two. Anything on this speech, Locke?
No, not really.
People are asking. A couple were wondering why there hasn't been a denial from 10.
No need. These crosses. Presumably they think they shouldn't be on the list.
Oh, no. They're the see me lot. If they don't turn up to vote, then they're listed. They know what they're in for.
I suppose the marginals are understandable. They're nursing their seats.
In the old days, a lot of them would be nursing seats, all right.
You mean I'm letting them get away with it?
Chief Whip's office. Right. Thanks a lot. Mrs. Bannister's arrived. She's gone straight to the terrace.
Blast. I'd clean forgotten about it. I suppose I'd better look in for a couple of minutes.
I forgot to tell you earlier. She says Polly's seen the flat and wants you both to go and look this evening.
I haven't got time to chase round Docklands. Did she tell you about it?
Oh, sounded fun.
Did it? Huh. Well, I wonder if Polly will think it funny when she has to find the rent.
£350.
I know it sounds a lot, but it's rather nice.
A month? Do you hear that, Dougal? Well...
I'm afraid it's the going rate.
I must say, Charles, it seems reasonable. For London, that is. It's appalling. For one room. One room!
Then she has to pay something towards the telephone and the rest of it.
Rest of what?
Heating. Electricity, that sort of thing.
Well, that can be expensive. How many of them there?
Three others. Three of them are paying £350. The other girl owns the flat.
So they're paying her mortgage. Mm. Oh, yeah, that's pretty clever. Perhaps she should give up music, become a landlady. What sort of room is it?
Charles, what a brilliant idea.
Here. Oh, sorry, no. Duct tapers. Hey,
Look at that skirt. Wonder she could walk, never mind balance a tray.
If you hadn't been staring at her legs, you'd have seen the rest of her coming.
Now then, my girl, I'll have you know I'm a happily married man. Now, where was I?
Flag waving.
Right. I think someone's trying to screw us.
That's better. That's the Dennis Wigton I know and love. A juicy conspiracy beats a cock up any day of the week.
Well, just work it out for yourself. Someone floats the idea that the Queen's eyeballing number 10. Straightforward challenge. Queen knows best stuff.
Right, she likes Hong Kong, its empire and cheap mahjong sticks.
Listen a minute, will you? They get all indignant and say it's a plot.
Who they?
That lot, the government.
Right, right.
We fall for it. We're caught between saying she's quite right.
And that she's interfering and has to go.
And one of our front bench clowns leaps up clutching his party car.
The last in Europe.
Shouting, you bloody Rika, what a good idea. Let's get rid of the old lot and put the money into hospital beds.
Why not?
Wait a minute, will you? Then the Prime Minister gets up and says, will our boy disassociate himself and the party from Republican loonies?
And he's on the spot.
Right. If he says yes, he will, then he's got the loonies on his back. If he says no...
He's got the public on his back, and we don't get elected for 50 years, according to you.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So who started the rumour?
They did, of course. Number 10.
She says it's got a lovely view of the river. Tower Bridge. Oh, Ruth's going. Let's have a quick word with her about the NSPCC meeting. Don't go without me, darling.
One man quango that woman's becoming.
Yes, of course. Now, Charles, talking of the tower, you think your friend from the palace was hinting that there is something in this business?
Oh, I don't know. He's never exactly chatty, that side of the family aunt. I simply got the feeling that he was being too cagey.
How did he leave it?
We're meeting again tomorrow, at the Athenaeum, of all places. Meanwhile, I wonder if a chat with our terrace club host would be a good idea.
Ross? That man has no principles whatsoever.
I think that's a little unfair, but on this occasion, let's hope you're right.
You see, I'm very naive in these matters of intrigue. You must understand that when the chief whip asks the favour of a mere and quietly despised hack, well, I wonder why the giants have descended to the pygmies.
Come on, Jack. We've been friends for many years. You know better than that.
I never realized I had so many buddies and in such high places. But I'm curious. If you trust me so much, why don't you believe me when I say I don't know?
Perhaps you're being discreet. You said often enough yourself that you'd be finished if you revealed any of your sources.
Then why ask, eh?
Sure you want a drink?
Sure. No, thanks. If you didn't write the article, then you wouldn't be revealing your informant.
But if I didn't do the story, I wouldn't know the throat.
What?
The source!
I see. But you could find out, and that wouldn't be breaking your confidence.
That would be without principle.
I would be very grateful.
It must be extremely important.
I didn't say that.
Ah, but you did.
The truth is...
Oh, we're resorting to the truth now, are we?
Jack, may I tell you something in confidence?
Sure, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Or have I got it wrong?
You know what I mean.
I don't think I do anymore. Anyway... Try me. I'll stop you if I heard it.
Quite truthfully...
Stop!
As far as I'm aware, there is no basis in your paper's article. The Paris speech was clean. No interference from us.
Truthfully, you say?
Honestly. However...
Now for the real honest truth, eh?
Please. As I was saying, the article was probably not true. But there is a very good reason why I should know the source of the rumour.
Only probably.
There are very honourable reasons for me to press you, Jack.
An affair of state, you might say.
Exactly.
And you'd be extremely grateful.
Extremely.
You sure I can't? There'd be no trouble.
No, don't worry, Dougal. It's very sweet of you, but there'll be a cab in a minute. It's just as easy.
Pity Charles couldn't have got away.
Yes, isn't it?
There's an important matter at the moment, you understand.
One does.
Mary, I hope you don't mind my asking.
Yes?
Well,
things are all right, aren't they?
Everything's all right.
Good.
Yes, isn't it?
I wasn't prying.
Yes, you were.
For the right reasons.
Yours always are. Sorry.
You apologize too much, Mary.
Sorry.
Of course. Tell me, you think Polly'll get this flat?
You get on rather well with her, don't you? Which is surprising. You're very different.
She's my goddaughter.
Yeah, it doesn't always follow, especially as you're a heathen.
Certainly not.
I'm sorry, of course you're not. You simply behave like one.
When I come down, we always go to church together. I take my duties very seriously, you know.
What do you think, then? About a flat?
Well, it's not for me to say.
You take your duties seriously. Surely it is.
Ah, this is yours. Well, I suppose it depends why she wants one.
She wants to do what we used to call our own thing.
Does she have to leave home to do it?
Depends on what she thinks it is. Maybe. She's 20 and wants some freedom.
From what?
From being 20, I suppose. Gets to us all in the end.
Give her my love.
I will.
And Mary, take care, won't you?
How many times do I have to tell you? It's all a figment of some hack's expense account.
Ha ha.
Anyway, it's not important. You were going to tell me about your father.
Pop. Yes. I suppose I was. He's acting very strangely. Gets up in the middle of the night.
Old men do.
No, it's not that. It's odd. He wanders about. Reads old papers.
Newspapers?
He's got masses of cuttings from years ago, before I was born. And old diaries.
Perhaps it's nostalgia.
No, he's too agitated and... well, I suppose secretive. When I go into his study, he covers up whatever he's reading.
He always had a reputation for eccentricity.
Then on Saturday, we were having lunch in the Randolph, and he kept asking me if I thought someone was following us.
Were they?
Oh, don't be daft, Jane. Of course they weren't. That's what worries me. When we got home, he said he'd like to see you.
You've no idea what it is.
I wish I had. Do you?
Why should I?
I don't know. Just a feeling, I suppose. You're sure you don't?
Ah, there you are, Charles. I've just put Mary in a taxi. She sent her love, of course. She was looking for you.
Oh, right. We're talking about Juliet's father. He's not very well.
Yes, of course. Now, Charles, a word if you have a moment.
Should I call him?
I suppose you could.
Oh, better not.
Charles?
No, look, don't worry. You're busy.
What did that despicable Stoat Ross have to say?
You say Mary's gone?
Well, I asked Rose. She didn't know where you were.
Seems to have died a death this morning. I really don't know why they bother. Did you see old Wigton on the telly?
Hmm.
Oh, he was quite smart. Reckoned it was a plot by number 10.
What? Who did?
Wigton. Really odd. Defended the palace. Never seen him as a royalist.
His voters are. Look at these flats. Do you realise that people are charging more than £1,000 a month for 2 bedrooms? £1,000?
What's a Docklands place like?
I really don't know. I didn't bother to go. A lot of nonsense. And expensive nonsense at that.
Is she serious about it?
Of course she is. It's her own fault. She thinks money grows on trees.
Ah, beg your pardon. Didn't realise he was busy, sir.
Amazing what some people don't realise, Arthur Hawkins.
It's that Jack Ross, sir. He was in the lobby just now. Said something about nothing to declare or something, whatever that means. Anyway, you thought you'd like to know.
Where is he now?
Well, I thought I saw him heading for the Lords.
That'll be the day.
Nothing to declare.
I assume that even though this person is rarely to be trusted, he is on this occasion telling the truth.
What he believes to be the truth, yes. It's apparently rare, whatever we might think, that the paper's editor gets directly involved.
Hence the nom de plume.
According to Ross, the paper's planners, I think he called them the backbench, were simply handed the article by the editor and told to publish it.
Which, of course, they did.
Which, indeed, they did. The implication is that this wasn't some local gossip in the Commons or on the Stock Exchange. The source must have been very well established.
One would think so.
He's not a fool. I telephoned him. He was charming but adamant.
And confident?
I think so.
It's very difficult to detect the difference between confidence and bravado in an editor.
Possibly. And by the way, the Prime Minister raised it at prayers today.
And had he any thoughts on the matter?
We pointed out that the palace is the most powerful opposition in the country.
And at an election it would be unwise to have it publicly against one.
We said as much.
You didn't mention our meeting.
It seemed unnecessary.
Misunderstanding. So easy.
But do you think this matter will come up this evening?
Do I? We shall not raise it.
You wouldn't suggest that the leak, if that's what it was, started in, say, 10?
I would not.
You would not suggest, or you know it didn't?
Yes.
I see. You know, I don't believe this was simple journalistic speculation.
Ah, possibly. I'm rather keen that our interest remains a matter between ourselves.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for tea. Now I really must be getting back.
Oh, not at all. I'm glad you could come.
Yes, so kind.
You know, there was a temptation to wonder that if the rumour was not started in the normal places, then it might have begun in the palace.
Such clever kicks they do here. And I really have done rather well.
That, of course, would be rather bothersome.
And such sensible teacup.
It would explain also why the paper had so much confidence and why no one checked with the press secretary.
Such good weather. I think I might walk back.
It would be construed as deliberate interference in government policy.
One can never be sure this time of the year. I have a coat, of course.
An attempt to set public opinion against us, quite unconstitutional.
So nice to have seen you.
I imagine you have on more than one occasion talked to the editor himself.
I imagine I have. You really must allow me to give you a lunch sometime. Love to Mary. Bye.
In that episode of The House, you heard Julian Glover as Charles Bannister, Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter, Isla Blair as Mary Bannister, Siobhan Redmond as Juliet Cameron, David Ryle as Dennis Wigton, Sheila Reid as Rose, James Garbutt as Arthur, and Brett Usher as the Welsh MP. It featured John Grieve as Jack Ross and Richard Caldecott as the Queen's private secretary. The House was written by Christopher Lee and produced by Neil Cargill.